take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that when what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, we made it. We made it through Christmas. We've got New Year's yet to go. We're ending a decade. All sorts of changes are taking place. And you know, as I think about it, we hurry and hurry and hurry. We hurry through life, we hurry through the holidays, and we forget to just look around and breathe. Over Christmas, did you take time just to breathe, to smell the tree, to appreciate the lights, to listen to the music, and just to be with your loved ones and not worrying about what to do? It's interesting, most of you know I'm a social worker, so I often do a social worky thing, but I felt that at work this year we'd had a really challenging year, and I felt it was important that my 900 workers took time over Christmas. And I wrote an email to all of them saying, take time to breathe, don't feel you have to do anything, don't look at your phones or anything. And I was totally amazed at how many of those people wrote me back and said, thank you for giving me permission just to be and not to do, and to remind us that the memories are made from the people, not the things, and just to take time to breathe. You know, I don't often practice self-care, and I've spoken before about how I failed mindfulness, because sitting still is probably not my thing, but I thought if I'm telling everybody else to do it, and I was including it in my reflection today, I would try it. So last night, I turned off the TV. Clemson was losing anyhow at that point. And I went out to the living room, and I turned on the Christmas lights, and Pastor Tula's dog jumped up on me. And I sat, and I sat, and I looked. And after a while, I no longer had a stiff neck. And after a while, I started to appreciate the mess in the living room. I started to appreciate all the things I had. I think it's really important that we take downtime in our lives. With my girl guide work, I often tell the adults who run the program, just let the girls be. It might be the only place where they can decompress. In the school system, we're doing mindfulness activities right from kindergarten up. It seems like such a simple thing, and yet we don't often give ourselves permission just to be and do nothing. So often we're only successful for doing something. and we hear about how busy everybody is. And I'm never sure if it's a perception or a reality. So I want you just to sit there and close your eyes. We're going to do a little breathing exercise. I'm going to count to five. I want you to breathe in and breathe out. We're only going to do it three times, so you're not going to be here till lunchtime. Okay, so breathe in. One, two, three, four, five. And now breathe out. One, two, three, four, five. Breathe in. One, two, three, four, five. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five. Breathe in. One, two, three, four, five. And breathe out. One, two, three, four, five. And just take one last deep breath. You know, the gospel today gave me some trouble. I don't know, maybe it's my age, you know, I'm getting old. But I love Christmas. I love the nativity story. I love hearing about the shepherds. I love about hearing about the angels and the three wise men and the carols that we sing. It's such a short time. We get through Advent and sort of the dreary hymns, and we're rushing off to get into Epiphany. And today's gospel seemed out of sequence for me. You know, God through an angel appeared to Joseph. Well, we haven't even got the wise men there yet. And we're sending Jesus to Egypt. So it was sort of hard for me to get my head around. And also, it's the beauty and the peace and the love of Christmas. And we're talking about Herod and being evil and wanting to kill the baby Jesus. So I struggled with that. And then I started to think about it. Does God send us dreams? How do you know if an angel shows up in your dreams? What do you do about it? And I kept thinking about it. How do we know it's even God? How did Joseph know it was God? That was a pretty big change. I mean, Joseph's been through a lot. First, he finds out the woman he's engaged to is having a baby, and he's just doing everything on faith. Now he's told to pack everything up and walk miles. He certainly didn't take an Uber or didn't have a limousine to take him there. Oftentimes, you know, we feel God in our lives. But would you know if God appeared to you in a dream? Does God send us dreams? Do we recognize them? Do we understand them? I know often I have dreams, or nightmares more often than I have dreams, but I'm not sure. Is it God's voice telling me to do something? Does he resend dreams if you miss it? I sometimes have the feeling that God's sitting up there, you know, about to take out a baseball bat and say, listen, Marcia, smarten up and listen. I've sent you four messages now. Could you just please pay attention to what I'm trying to do and trying the comfort I'm trying to bring? I sure hope God resends the messages to me so that I don't miss them. Are our dreams and our direction from God, are they all the same? Do we all get the same messages? Are they big directions? Are they small? Are they same for everyone? What if you were Joseph? Would you have listened and packed up everything and fled to Egypt? That's a great leap of faith, you know. He had to be pretty sure of what he was doing. The social worker in me thinks, if somebody had come to me and told me God had told them in a dream to do something, would I believe them? I don't know. If you think and you read in the paper of all the people that go to psychics and, you know, build their lives around psychics, or in my line of work, we deal with a lot of people who hear voices, who see things, who have a hard time discerning reality. Would I know if it was reality and God telling me to do something? Dreams are important to have, and it's important to think about the dreams. You know, you need to sit back and process them and think about them. Sometimes it's a big life change. For me, right now, it's do I retire or not? That's a big one, and I keep getting confusing messages. I wish God would get it straight and say, Marcia, pack it up, sunshine, and move on. Or you can make a difference, stay just a little bit longer. I'm getting confusing messages there. Sometimes it's just a small thing like, what color should I paint the bedroom? Should I buy a rug? But how do I know which is the real voice of God? We need to think big. We need to think about the dreams. What dreams has St. Philip's had? You know, I also, before I came here, was a good shepherd. And good shepherd and St. Philip's and Redeemer were once one congregation. Somebody had to have a dream that we would split that congregation, move out across the city. I bet that dream was directed by God. At Good Shepherd, we took that property and we made it into a building for joined in partnership with Cerebral Palsy. And I remember, because Bishop Uris was the bishop at that time, and he came and he told us, you know, God had directed us to do this and do everything. He says, but I want to tell you, look around this table, because when that building's finished, some of you won't be here. You will have left the congregation. For some of you, the dream will be big and will work out. For others, the change will be too hard. What other dreams has St. Philip's had? We've had a parish nurse. We now have a learning engagement coordinator. Those were big dreams. We're talking about putting screens and becoming more modern here in the church. And that's a big leap of faith. Will it draw more people in? Will it be more appealing? I don't know. But I'm hoping God's hand will be there to guide us through these dreams. Not everybody has to have the same dream. And it can be a variety of different dreams. That's what makes us a strong congregation. We need to talk about those dreams. We need to sometimes just sit and forget about the business and forget about the deficit and forget about things. Just dream. What is God's dream for St. Philip's in 2020 and the coming decade? How will we hear it? And how will we understand it? And better yet, how will we act on it? Each of us may have a different dream, but I think that working together, even if we hear things different, it will only make a stronger dream. Maybe your dream is to serve on church council. I may have mentioned as you came in, I have one meeting left, and there's three of us finishing church council. It's a land of opportunity for you to become part of the congregation and show leadership. Joining Chris in the choir. They have a lot of fun at choir. We had a great choir at Christmas, but we could have that great choir all year. It's your dream to sing, and you don't have to be an opera singer. Our community outreach. Look at the good food market and the good we do there and the people who drop by and have formed a relationship with us. Maybe they won't become members, but they know we're here and they know we're Christian and they know we care. What kind of dreams do you have that you're willing to share? We need to open our mind and dream those dreams and share the dreams. And I want to close with sharing Christmas letter from Jesus that I saw on Facebook. When you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right here where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebration. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do, to close your eyes and say a prayer. I'm waiting here for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in the stillness where I'm whispering your name. Be ready when God appears in your dreams and whispers your name, and share that dream with us.